Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, and making his return to the show. Bassick. Not Giancarlo Bassick.
I've changed my name to Giancarlo Bassick. Your name's Mike. No, just kidding. His name's Giancarlo, I guess.
And the return after a one-day absence of Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. We're going to start with some football, or if you would call Mike Bassick Giancarlo Bassick, if he decided to change his name. Dak had a really interesting quote, and obviously, Corey, we talked about this yesterday. You brought it to my attention. I thought it was really interesting. He said, "We've got to take it one game at a time." Get that. Simple as that. Been here before in 2018, and we can get back to that in just a second. We know what it takes. You can get hot. You can get rolling. That's all we're looking to do. That's my point about this. It's frustrating, but no one is shook. Everything is still in our control. We've lost four, but we can get hot, and that's the plan. We just got to keep building. And from that perspective, he's right. If they went 13-4, I'm not saying that's going to happen by any stretch of the imagination, but if they did, they would be just fine. Same with 12-5, same with 11-6.
One seed.
Yes.
One seed still available, and they would beat Washington twice and Philadelphia twice, which then would make it right. They would hold the tiebreakers even if they won out all their other games.
That is true. But my question then for y'all is, for how much longer? So I agree that it is still in their control.
Okay.
Even if you don't agree it's going to end up where you want it, it is still technically in their control. But Corey, since you brought this up, how much longer, or what changes that, I guess?
Yeah, I we asked Boach that a couple of years ago on their run to the World Series. All the players kept saying, there's a lot of baseball left, right? And I was like, when, at what point is there not a lot of baseball left?
Yeah.
And I think Boach told us about the last month. That's when you're like, okay, we got to turn it up or turn it around. And interestingly enough, that year in the World Series, they did not. That last month, they actually got worse.
No,
and then they turned it around when the playoffs started. So Mike just looked at the schedule and we went through what we kind of think the Cowboys' approach is going to be here and where they might get their wins. I think because they have so many divisional games left, Dak feels that way
okay.
For sure. They're like, look, man, we go 6-1 5-1 in the division. We're sitting in a pretty good place. Now, that's going to be difficult. Washington's very good.
Yeah.
You've already beaten the Giants.
Washington is still not favored to win that division.
Really? Is it still the Eagles?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense, too. They win
37-17 on the road in Cincinnati, right? I mean, that was.
Yeah, that's true.
I was surprised by that.
Jalen Hurts has been playing better. I'll concede that.
But I think if you look at like the schedule, because the way Jason Garrett preached to Dak Prescott, and the way that Mike McCarthy's gone about it is, we got to win our division. You win those games; those are important. If you do, where's your record? You got nine. You got eight wins if you win the division. And then Mike's predicting you win against the Falcons, and then maybe you pick up another win against the Bengals or the Panthers or something like that. Could put you at 10 wins, and that could be good enough in this division to win it. And then again, Jerry has said this over and over, and if you abide by it, I do. The reality is that the numbers are showing over history, the best teams are the best teams for a reason. But if you abide by just getting into the tournament gives you a shot at something, then that reality exists if the Cowboys can just creep in there somehow.
Now,
do I agree with it? No.
No.
But I'm trying to figure out where Dak's coming from. I would say, Kevin, that if you lose to the Texans after losing to the Falcons and Eagles, it's out of
your
control.
Done. You're okay. Done.
That's where I would put it.
Now, from the 6-8-2, if you lose to Atlanta, it's over. You have to go like 7-2 after that, and it's not happening. Now, believe it or not, that is not necessarily accurate. I'm going to take you to 2018. Dak made reference to 2018. So I decided I'm going to go down that path just a little bit more. The Cowboys were 3-5 that year. And then they rolled off a 7-1 record to end the season. All right.
Heck yeah.
So let's start.
Amari Cooper.
Exactly. But that's the difference right there. After they lost to fall to 3-4. So they lost to Washington. So to your point, divisional game. They lost to Washington, dropped them to 3-4, just like they are right now. Then they traded for Amari Cooper. So it's not difficult to see like one of the reasons they didn't just rise up and win 7 of 8 because they were like just overcame all the odds. I mean, they did to a certain extent, but Amari Cooper coming in really, really helped.
Yeah, they went on a significant tear, man.
And Jerry, I feel like, has made it very clear to us again and again and again that no such trade is in the cards. Now, that could just be part of his strategy and they play it close to the vest and everything like that. But assuming no trade is on the horizon that was as impactful as Amari Cooper, it is really hard, at least for me at this moment, to think that another run like that is in the cards. I hope I'm wrong and they do that, but don't forget, when Dak references 2018, they made a trade for Amari Cooper like right when they were at their lowest.
And Jerry Jones has told us.
Not going to happen.
If you He's told us. If you've seen the players do something once before, then you know they got it in them to do it again. They got it in them to do it again,
sack,
Kevin.
That means they could get 60 sacks in one game.
Or if
they just play to their full potential.
If they've won a bunch of games after a trade in 2018, they can do that again. Dak's seen it before. He knows what kind of run you can go on.
I hope that you're right.
And a lot of people, because right now you're impatient. What happened in the playoffs last year has carried over, and you're impatient with the team at 3-4. You were impatient with them at 3-4 in 2018.
Correct.
If the Joneses, because I don't think they're at that point. We talk about baseball a lot, and like, okay, when do you decide when this team doesn't have it, and what are your decisions from there? If the Cowboys were right now going, hey, look, we're going to have to deal with these young players growing, and this might put us in position to get a better draft pick this upcoming draft and still add to the youth of this program. And in a couple of years, we're planning to be better because in a couple of years, that's it. Would you be happier or more ticked off about this season? Would you be like, you know what? I have a direction. I know they're going to continue drafting, they're going to have better draft picks. But right now is not the time to discuss that because you're not out of it.
I think I would be happier and see, okay.
So that's why they keep this mindset of we still have a shot.
I want to go back.
Why quit and fold things up?
Okay, let's go back to that.
Okay.
Because that's what you have to do as a competitor, right? Like if you had players from this team come out and go, we're 3-4, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's probably not the person that you want on your team. But at the same point, don't you have to sit back in the front office and analyze everything else that's happened besides just the 3-4 record? The fact that, man, you got worked in those losses to San Francisco and Baltimore, and then you made a comeback because of, you can define that however you want. And that's probably the difference, right? Because if you define those comebacks against Baltimore and San Francisco as their defenses went easy and quit caring.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Because the game was over, then you need to do something different. If you truly think the Cowboys made a heroic comeback and they got the ball with a chance to win the game, because that is what happened, then I can see how you would want to stay in it because you're like, man, we could have finished off those comebacks. Now we're 5-2. That didn't happen. That's not where you are. But I wonder if that's why they're like, we're still in it. Because if you're like, they let us back into those games, then you need to reevaluate your strategy.
All right. Looking at this team right now, what one trade could they make that turns that around that much? See, I'm with Mike. Mike's shaking his head right now.
I don't.
They need a starting running back. They need a number 2 receiver. they maybe would need a veteran offensive lineman better than what they have. That's your offense of what you need right now. Three things to turn that offense around. And then some people would say that the play calling still wouldn't be good enough for that offense. So that's scary that you need three. Defense, you need a starting defensive tackle. You need a backup defensive tackle. You need probably a defensive end because I don't know if DeMarcus Lawrence is coming back this year, to be honest. I know Micah Parsons is. You need another linebacker for sure because you lack depth there. You probably need a starting safety. Like, that's – you need too many things for this season to be right.
So, Kevin, whenever I'm looking at how I lost those games, the reality is what's going to be the difference that puts things back in my control, and it's too many things.
Okay.
Because I don't think there's just a, hey, if we get Cliff Lee – the whole team's going to get that shot in the arm. We get Cole Hamels, we're going to be okay, and we're going to actually go on a better run than we expected to go on.
I'm not disputing that at all. I'm just trying to look at all aspects, and here's one of the issues that I have with, and look, I understand. I see people on the Twitch, on the YouTube, in the fan text, 877-881-1053, is like, dude, you know it. You know this season is over. Why not sell? I'm telling you what Jerry and Steven have said to us. And Jerry said, I think last week,
they could be 0-7 and he wouldn't sell players.
I think, and I think you're right about that, because Jerry didn't say when you're still in it, you don't start trading pieces off. He said, when you make that financial commitment to CD, when you make that financial commitment to Dak, you've decided you're going for it. That's not the time that you trade off pieces. And so it's not the record that he said. It was like, we paid these two people. We're not going anywhere. The reason why I think that is a huge mistake is I think you can take a step back for the rest of the year without destroying your future. Like, let's say DeMarcus Lawrence was going to come back. I know you might not get the best draft pick in the world for him, but if you moved off of players that are all out of contract this year anyway, and you take the salary cap hit right now that you were going to experience anyway, and picked up an extra fourth, a fifth, and a fifth, does that change the fortunes of your franchise? Probably not, but it gives you more ammunition for a team that, like, hangs their hat on, we draft great.
No, we threw out how many. I mean, you're not getting seconds and firsts and everything like that unless you're trading to Micah, which nobody. I do want to point out, I don't think anybody at this station has called for Micah to be. Have we discussed it? Yes, we have. But I don't think we said, hey, this has to happen, Jerry Jones.
Correct.
I just wanted to point that on this show. But yeah, all of them were lower tier. But you're hoping to have chips so that you can trade up, trade around, move around, get players that you really want in certain rounds. Let's say you pair a 2 with a 4 or a 2 with a 5, and you want to go up to the top of the second round, you can do that. So that's where I'm trying to figure out how to add to my team. But this team has so many things, and I agree with you. You make that initial, this is what I'm running with for the next 4 to 5 years, Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. What else do I need to build around it? Do I have it? Can I get it? What's it going to take for me to get it? How long is it going to take for me to build the team around them? Because right now, what I'm looking at isn't good enough. So I agree with you that you can take a step back and still take steps forward next year.
Especially if we talk so much about, like, this team is badass at drafting. Look, I think they inflate some of those stats by giving second-year contracts or second contracts to players who don't necessarily deserve it, but that is just my opinion. But if the Cowboys are so sure that they're so good at drafting, why would you not want that extra fourth, fifth?
I think this, my opinion, I'm not saying this is the station's opinion at all, because when I do this, I think people get mad up here. You have a person pretending to be a general manager his whole life. He's not. He's never been a general manager of football. He can't do it. He's not. God gave him gifts. Being a general manager of a football team is not even close to one of them. And then Will McClay, I think, is a general manager type guy.
Yeah.
But he knows his boundaries with the Jones family. So he can't general manage this team. He can only make suggestions, and he knows boundaries he's not going to step over. He will not step over a boundary and tell the Jones family, hey guys, this isn't the year. In fact, probably 2025 isn't going to be the year either. What we need to start doing is trading players that we don't think can really help us in 2026 through 2028. And we need to accumulate draft picks, because this is the way that you guys believe you can build a championship team. If that's the case, we need 12 draft picks a year, and we need them now. So that being the case, we need to step back for 2 years, try to get our finances right, and then have so many pick assets that we can really improve this team. He's a general manager. I think Will McClay has the ability to be a general manager. You have a dude pretending to do it for 30-something years now.
Kevin, Mike, that was great, great lines right there. I loved it all. The process of building a 5-year plan, does it start with your foundation, Dak and CD, or is that an addition in the middle of the 5-year plan? Because I'm not sure when their 3-5-year plan started, and if last year capped it and they said, okay, now we're starting over and we're revisiting a new 3-year, 5-year plan. Or if maybe Steven has one view of it, Jerry has a different view, and Will has another different view.
Yeah.
I don't know. They should all be on the same page, but I feel like you go, okay, I know I have this, and I know I'm going with this. I got to start adding other pieces, but it's going to take time.
Okay. I agree with that philosophy. Here's one of the issues that I run into. You can use this on whatever the hell player you want, and it doesn't only have to be Cowboys players. The Cowboys seem to get stuck sometimes in the, well, we paid at this level for this player, so that's what they need to be. Even when evidence in front of them is like, it's not the way it is, but that's what we paid for. Okay, then you made a bad deal.
He'll be different when he's a Cowboy.
Yeah, that makes no sense at all. Now, you could think this is about Dak. You could think it's about Trayvon Diggs. You could think about whoever the hell you want. But I bet there's a lot of... I bet every team in the NFL has this like exact same issue with at least a few players. You think because you pay them at a certain level, that's where they're going to be. And when they're not at that certain level, your expectation is, well, they'll get there because that's what I paid for. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Not at all.
And that might be a more fatal flaw for this organization than at least most. I'm not going to say all, but at least most of them.
I do. Broadus has said this, though. You do get frustrated, though, when you pay those players and they don't live up.
And I do get that. Frustrated,
or
yes.
They have that complications.
But, like, are you going to will them to get back up to that level? No, you're not. It's not going to happen.
Just believe.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.